Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It is good to be together in this place. Good morning, church, our online community. It is good to be together in whatever place you are. We are one church in two forms, in person and online, one family called Trinity Church. This is the day the Lord has made. We are here to rejoice and give thanks to God because of it. In spite of everything, whatever that everything is for you, we are here to give thanks to God, to rejoice, and to praise God together. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that we are able to worship you this day. Wherever we are, Lord, we thank you that we have eyes to see and ears to hear and minds to comprehend and a heart to come to you, seeking to understand more and more your will and your way. Bless us wherever we may be in this moment in our worship. And open unto us your great truth and your great love, all revealed to us through Christ our Lord. Amen.
This morning, we have the Old Testament lesson, which is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 10. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and sent me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says: Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Today's gospel lesson comes from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 through 32. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in the synagogue, who was possessed by an impure spirit, cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The men were also amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
There's a monastery in Europe which is at the top of a 300-foot sheer cliff. And the only way to get to the monastery is for people to get in a small basket and for the monks at the top to pull them up. Once a visitor wanted to go to the monastery, and so the visitor at the top, monks, were pulling them up. About halfway up, the visitor, very scared, and you can understand that, looked at the rope and noticed that it was pretty frayed and old. And so the visitor said to the monk in the basket with him, "How often do you change the rope?" And without batting an eye, the monk said, "Whenever it breaks." Well, I rather imagine that as we and you look back over recent months, at times you have wondered if the rope that is holding us is fraying, if it's strong enough to hold, if it might break. I wonder if you have been anxious for the future because of that. My guess is you have. And that's why it's important for us in this first part of the new year to have this four-part sermon series on God's healing power. Last week we began and took a look at how God's desire is for us to be healed in whole, body, mind, and spirit in relationship. A broad scope view we took of God's healing power. Today, we get more specific and take a look at two of the specific healing stories that illustrate aspects of God's healing power. The stories take place on the same day in Capernaum. Capernaum is a town on the north edge of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus came from Nazareth, and Capernaum is many miles north, maybe 30 miles north. Jesus made this his headquarters in the northern part of Palestine for his ministry. It's right on the Sea of Galilee. Four of his disciples came from this town. And so the setting early on in the Gospel of Mark finds Jesus going to church. And in church, in the synagogue, he is teaching. And after he finishes teaching, or perhaps even during, we're not clear, all of a sudden, there is a great shriek in the synagogue. This great shriek, this scream, comes from a man who is in the synagogue who has been identified as having an unclean or an impure spirit. Jesus looks at the man and says, "Come out of him. Be quiet. Come out of him." And the man is healed. The unclean spirit comes out of him, and he is restored to health. Right after this happens and church is over, Jesus, Andrew, and Peter go to Peter's mother-in-law's house. They're probably going for lunch after church. When they get there, they discover that Peter's mother-in-law is sick with a fever. Now, fevers in those days were not only common, but far more common than now. You see, they had no medication to care for it, so fevers could get control and take over someone and last for days and days and days, and even take lives. As they get into the house and hear that the mother-in-law has a fever and is in bed, Jesus goes to her. And the Gospel of Mark says, "And Jesus reached out his hand, took her hand, and helped her to stand up, and the fever was gone. And then she went and continued serving them," finished making lunch. Two stories that illustrate two aspects of Jesus' power and God's healing power. With the man with the unclean spirit, that's spiritual or soul healing. With the woman with a fever, that's physical healing. And we take a look at both a little more closely. Life just is not realistic without the reality of illness. We'd love to not have illness, soul troubles, physical bodily troubles, but that's just a part of life. Every person, because of the nature of how God made us in this fallen world, every person will have physical ailments of one kind or another throughout their life. Some more, some less. And every person will have soul troubles and times when your spirit is darkened and troubled. I remember many years ago when I was going through some soul troubles of my own as a young pastor, reading a specific devotional. And in the devotional, a preacher commented to other preachers. He said, "Do not be surprised when you go through soul trouble as a pastor." And I thought to myself, "Oh, it's okay, because it's a part of life, pastor or not." What we realize in the two stories is that Jesus came to both, that God's healing power was available to both, physical as well as soul trouble. Both could be healed. When we think about our own health, soul, and body, you only really know deep within where you need healing. Sometimes the physical healing is pretty obvious and you care for it. But be very attentive to this soul trouble, because it is just as serious to your whole being as physical unhealth. Now, in biblical times, physical healing was very challenging. 2,000 years ago, no modern science, very, very limited things to help people heal physically. In fact, do you remember last week's story? The woman with the hemorrhage, 12 years, Jesus healed her. But the prelude to that apex was that it was said that for the 12 years, this woman went to doctor after doctor after doctor, and they only made it worse. Physical healing in Jesus' day was very challenging. We well know now is different. Thanks be to God. The knowledge, the discoveries, the revelations, we now have incredible ability to heal physically. Almost daily, I hear of parishioners going to surgery, going to doctors, having treatments, being restored. Yes, our bodies often can be healed, but sometimes they cannot. And some of you right now think of other people, or maybe yourself, for whom this is true. The doctors have said there's not much more we can do, or that you know that the natural progression of whatever is the disease will not be healed, that you will die. But friends, remember this. That is our ultimate destination for all of us. Certainly, we want to live as long as possible. Remember when Jesus raised Lazarus? Great! He was alive again. Guess what? A few years later, he died. Because that is a part of the journey. But for now, we thank God for physical healing that is so often possible, because God has revealed to us ways, knowledge, information, discoveries, and all the healing that you receive in any way physically comes all the way back to God. Now, sometimes physical and spiritual and soul healing go together. Sometimes there is this connection between soul healing and physical healing. James put it this way in the letter he wrote in the Bible. He said, confess your sins to each other. Listen how this is put. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you will be healed. He calls people to a spiritual soul response, confession and praying, and then says, so you will be healed. And therein is truth, no doubt, that soul matters and physical matters go hand in hand. As we spoke last week, we're whole. And so as you deal with physical matters and wonder about physical healing, remember that God also works combining the physical and the spiritual. One of the greatest examples of this is an old one. You may have remembered the name of Norman Cousins. Norman Cousins was an editor for the Saturday Review. Saturday Review. He became ill. He became ill with a painful, painful disease. It was a disease called collagen illness of the connective tissue. Essentially, all his connective tissue was disintegrating, giving him constant, constant pain. Doctors said that he had a 1 in 500 chance of being healed. They had never seen anyone come back from how bad off he was. So in the hospital where he was being treated, he realized something that could help him. He drew upon a spiritual resource that we often don't think about. Norman Cousins, in the hospital room, where doctors were treating him with some things, trying to help, Cousins brought in a projector. Tells you how long ago this story was, a projector. And he started showing comedy movies on his hospital room wall. He brought in any movies that would make him laugh. Things like the Marx Brothers and other things that when he watched, he would just laugh and laugh and laugh. And he did this for 2 or 3 hours a day. And you know what he discovered? That he realized that just a few minutes of laughter would give him 2 hours pain-free. And he discovered that this pain eventually would go away as he embraced laughter. And laughter, you see, is a part of joy. And joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So he embraced spiritual healing along with the physical healing the doctors were helping us with. And 3 months later, he went back to work pain-free. Sometimes our physical and spiritual healing are intertwined. And surely, whenever you or anyone in your loved one's circle, whenever you are facing physical issues, be sure to include spiritual issues like prayer and meditation and Bible reading, because together God heals us through both. But sometimes there just is no physical healing. As much as we pray, and I have prayed hundreds, if not thousands of times over the years for the healing of people as they go into surgery, as they face terrible issues of body. And I pray for healing. I am bold to ask God to heal, but you know what I say after that? According to your will, because that's what will prevail. And sometimes what happens is there is no physical healing, but there is a spiritual healing. And that spiritual healing becomes far more important than the physical healing. I still am astonished each time I hear, and often I do, from cancer patients who say to me after this long journey of cancer, which takes so much, people have said to me, I thank God for my cancer, because in the course of dealing with cancer, they have found new spiritual renewal and a closer relationship with God, which would not have happened without the cancer. Maybe you remember Johnny Erickson Tada. Johnny was 18 when, as an active, athletic young woman, she dove into a river. And when she did, she came up paralyzed from the neck down. We might have fully expected and understood a young teenager who, with that devastating, lifelong, permanent loss of all the things she had planned, we could have understood if Johnny would have turned her back on God, would have said, "I don't want any more. Look what you did to me. You've taken my life. Why didn't you keep me from that?" But no. Johnny, through the guidance of her parents, turned to her spiritual faith and her Christian roots, and within a few years, in her 20s, became one of the great inspirations in this country. First, she learned how to paint with her teeth, beautiful paintings that inspired and encouraged others. Then she started writing, and she wrote the first of 48 books in the course of her 50 years since. And then she started being a motivational speaker, and then she had a Christian radio show. And then she started writing music and wrote Christian songs. Her body was not ever healed, but her soul was healed beautifully. Similarly, we think of Mary Verghese. Mary, an Indian woman, brilliant, and had the opportunity, which many didn't get, to go to med school in her native country of India. There, she shone in classes, showed great promise, and came out and began as an intern to do her work. Always, she felt, as God was directing. And then an automobile accident. And she, paralyzed from the waist down. How could she be the surgeon she dreamed of being? But God and some other people lifted her up and told her about how she could do that and put a new dream before her. And she went on to be one of the great hand surgeons in India as she learned how to do hand surgery sitting down as a patient's hand could be put right in front of her. She was healed in the soul, though her body was not. Or Jerry Sitzer, who about 20 years ago, with his wife in the car, his daughter, his mother, and his son, driving back from a mission experience out west, was hit by a drunk driver. And in that crash, ultimately, his wife, his mother, and his daughter died. And we know that though he was not harmed from the beginning, as he looked at that carnage, he prayed, "God, save them, heal them." You know that's what he prayed. And God could not do that, for sometimes it's just too late. And again, we could understand if Jerry, who was a Christian and teaching in a seminary, threw away his faith, walked away. What horrible loss. What great injustice at the hands of a drunk driver. But Jerry Sitzer redeemed the pain. And though his family's bodies were not healed, his soul, because of their death, was healed more and more and more. And he went on to write one of the greatest books on loss that I have seen in 20 years. I commend it to you, A Grace Disguised. And he's back teaching and helping others grow in their Christian faith. All this is to say that God's healing power is available. It's available to those who seek it out, who draw themselves before God and say, "God, I ask for your healing power." And sometimes it comes in ways we don't expect. It comes to bodies It comes to souls. And yes, it even comes to countries. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for sending Jesus to show us your intent and your power and your desire to heal. Lord, as we walk through the many, many common journeys of life, with our bodies sometimes needing healing and with our souls sometimes needing healing, Lord, keep us ever attentive to turn to you and to access the healing power you offer in every dimension of our lives. Guide us to this beautiful end. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.